The future is out there, Kevin.
The future is now.
The future is now. This is Michael and Kevin with Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We are very thankful to Brian Noonan for letting us fill in. We're your all music podcast and live show right now on WGNRadio.com. You can search us on Sound Sessions if you search the website, iTunes.com/Sound Sessions, or directly right now you can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. There is some recent news that was kind of scary, Kev. The fact that our government can now see what our browsing history is and sell it to companies without even our consent anymore. This is a new thing that's happening. What's even more scary is the fact that the robots might be taking over. I'm saying this because there's a professor and chair of business and information technology who wrote a lot of great articles and especially is an expert in AI. We welcome King Xiao to the show. King, how's it going today?
Very good. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on WGN Radio. You know, I wanted to know, why is there such a fear of AI? I mean, especially since the infancy of these creation stages. I mean, you see in China and Japan and even here in the U.S. that a lot of these robots that are meant for maybe cleaning or whatnot are starting to look more realistic and can do things that you wouldn't have seen maybe 10 or even like 5 years ago.
That's right. I guess for artificial intelligence, it's an emerging area, and there's a lot of hype at this point in time about what is AI and what is AI's potential. And, of course, we are interested in looking at what's the economy impact and the societal impact by this technology. So when we look at AI, we can look at it from two point of view. One is a strong AI. And one is a weak AI. So when we look at strong AI, okay, a simple way to think of it would be like Terminator. Okay, so the strong AI, sometimes known as artificial general intelligence. So it's a machine with consciousness, and it can actually apply intelligence to more than one specific problem. So it's more like a very human-like. And when we look at weak AI, which is what we are seeing a lot at this point in time, like, for example, a system that can play chess, a system that can drive a car. So these are machines that can display human types of intelligence, but in a narrow domain, like playing chess only or driving cars only. So there's a lot of interest at this point in time about this development. And I have to say that the development has been pretty fast the last 2-3 years.
Well, yeah, there's something too. I mean, even like our technology, think about like computers and, you know, 50 years ago, what a computer looked like compared to what it is. I mean, the technology moves so quickly. Is there some, I mean, should we be afraid of how quickly or, I mean, of this robotic or AI technology is moving, or how should we feel about that?
So we have to differentiate between the weak AI and the strong AI. So when we look at the weak AI, robots, automation, I guess the fear is that they will be taking over a number of jobs that humans are doing at this point in time. So that is the concern at this point in time, job displacement. And some of the reports are saying that about 38% of the U.S. jobs, or some even say 47% of the U.S. jobs in the next 1 to 2 decades will be replaced by automation and robots. And that's pretty scary. How is the economy going to react to this kind of job displacement? So that's related to the weak AI. They are really good at one specific area, like driving a car or playing chess. Now, once it comes to strong AI, which will probably be maybe 2 or 3 decades away or even longer, or maybe even nearer, so that one, people are concerned about what is the threat of that to human existence. It's like the Terminator kind of scenario.
Great movie, by the way, Terminator. it really changed the game as far as what you're thinking about. And, you know, that's an interesting point. Kevin, like, when you think about TV shows or pop culture and everything, it's the things that you see in science fiction that often become true. I remember when, like, Back to the Future, how they had the double tie and the fact that you could put a piece of food into the microwave and in 2 seconds, like, you'd get a pizza dinner. I'm still waiting for that. But I see that now. well, in the field of technology, I was just at South by Southwest, and they were talking about how disruptive companies are becoming the new thing, and the fact that the companies like Uber took the fact that we were, you know, the way that the transportation system was working, and people were, you know, taking cars, and all of a sudden it turned it on its head by making us, you know, to do this kind of carpool system with strangers. Is AI the new disruptive force in the workforce, and you know, how can we work with it together to make it something good instead of something where we're going to be displaced with jobs, or the fact that, you know, people might get angry at it the way that taxi drivers get mad at Uber? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess we have to really be aware of that this thing is going to happen. Is it going to be disruptive? I think so. Mm-hmm. Job will be displaced, yes. How are we going to deal with that? Education, retraining, awareness, understanding of their capability. So these are all things that we need to do at this point in time. So the good thing is that people are becoming aware of this kind of issues early. So, for example, this program, you guys are talking about AI and its potential to economy and societal impact. So we are becoming aware of all this, and we are taking a preemptive early detection and early preparation. So we are trying to prepare ourselves for this AI kind of economy. So let's say for job displacement, all right, so maybe we should do a lot more retraining, and the university should probably, or education institution, should really train people that can fit into that kind of economy. And for organization and those government agencies that are retraining workers, we have to retrain workers for the next economy, the upcoming economy. So we need to be aware of all this. So these are all more or less related to the weak AI.
Yeah.
Again, we come to the strong AI. We have to be very cautious. Are we going to develop something that one day turn into a Terminator? We don't want that to happen.
I mean, well, how realistic is that, in like, of becoming self-aware? How realistic is that idea? And then, and is there any way that we can kind of, like in a car, you install a governor so it doesn't go, it only goes a certain speed. Is there any way we can install something like that into robots or AI technology?
My Roomba tried to attack me the other day. I was very afraid.
Okay, we have to be, how realistic is that? We have a limited understanding of human consciousness, and in fact, our cognition, our mental working. So we are still trying to explore that. So it doesn't mean that we don't understand fully what's our consciousness and what's our mental state and how it actually operates. We will prevent this artificial general intelligence from emerging. It may be an emerging property. You may have a lot of systems that are really good at doing what they are doing, and put them all together, and suddenly there's this emerging property that they become self-aware. Because we don't understand it ourselves, but it doesn't mean that it will not happen.
I see. You know, that's really interesting. You know, I did want to ask, let's get to the serious points now. There's three laws of robotics that I remember from the movie iRobot. Number one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction or allow a human to come into harm. Number two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings except when such orders would conflict with the first law. Number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. Now with robots becoming more aware of themselves and, you know, actually maybe reaching into singularity and being able to work themselves without any human interaction, will robots have the capacity to commit crimes one day?
I guess your guess is as good as mine. But again, we are not going to try it. We are not, as far as possible, we don't want that to happen or even have to happen. So we need to be aware of that. That may happen. So what are the precautions we can take at this point in time to prevent that from happening?
So you're saying my broom one day won't get up and attack me or in my sleep or something like that?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, with all this technology coming out, and it's all really new, you know, and we're like, you know, like you were saying, the technology is developing so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good coming with it, whether it be smart cars that can maybe drive themselves, and maybe we could touch on that in a second too, or like drones, some of the drone footage that comes out, or like, you know, drone for agriculture. But then there's the other side, I mean, where there's potential for it to be used in really negative ways. I mean, think about like drone missile strikes.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an impersonal thing that could be happening halfway around the world. And, you know, how sure can you be that you're striking the target that you're intending to strike? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of downside that can go into this as well, correct? King?
Yes?
Yeah, so I'm saying, so there's I mean, with a lot of this new emerging technology, there's also a lot of downside that can be taken from it, correct?
Of course, yeah. There's always a good side and a bad side.
Now, is there any way that we can, like, I don't know, control? I mean, like, try to... Because it's such a fine line we're walking with, like the drone strikes, like I was talking about. Is there any way we can maybe, like, protect, I don't know, separate the good from the bad and maybe just focus on the good? Do you know what I'm saying?
We're trying to do that most of the time. We're trying to separate the good from the bad. But a lot of times, the good and the bad come together. Okay, it depends on how we use certain technology. Okay, so, like the drones, as you mentioned earlier, we can use a drone to deliver food and deliver goods and deliver medical aid people in need. But you also can use a drone to have missiles and to kill people.
Yeah.
So it cuts both ways.
Yeah, it's quite the interesting world we're living in. You know, the people like Elon Musk are using people like Elon are using things in a very, very positive and socially conscious way, where they're trying to create the Hyperloop or the self-driving car and everything, which is fantastic. I see it being used very positively in the next few years, because I feel like the people who are doing Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong here, but the people who do have this technology and this and the money to put into these AI artificial intelligence robots are the people who are trying to create some good. You know,
we hope so. We certainly hope so.
Because I don't think they're. I think that the idea of a super villain, you know, who just like creates the death ray, who's going to blow up
Dr.
the moon.
Evil.
The doctor, I think those are a thing of the past. What do you think, Mr. King?
I guess the intention has always been good. For example, let's focus on the driverless car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the idea is to have the car that can drive itself. And so for me, I have to drive. I just came back from St. Louis. I have to drive all the way back from St. Louis to Rolla, which is about 1 hour 45 minutes. I would rather be just sitting down there and have the car drive itself,
mm-hmm.
the whole journey. Okay, so I think the idea of having a driverless car is good. But on the other hand, what about those like truck drivers? We have 3.5 million truck drivers in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners to WGN, too.
Yeah, we have about 250 to 300,000 taxi drivers. So the unintended or maybe the consequences is that these people may lose their job if the self-driving cars become popular and widespread.
I see, yeah. I see. Well, this has been fantastic. We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, and hopefully we'll all regain, you know, our own singularity and make sure that these robots won't take over and we'll all be very good. That was King Siao, professor and chair of business and information and technology. We can't thank you enough. Where can people find you?
Just Google me.
Just Google you. Done. Well, thank you for your time.